The caravan continued until twilight, when they established camp for the night. After they had eaten, Ryan joined Marco, Sunita, and Mildred.
I've got something to tell you people.
What is that?
Come first light, we'll be moving on.
But where to? I can see nothing around here that could take you from our shared path.
Trust me, there is.
Pardon me?
It's something we have to do. I'm afraid we have our own problems to contend with, and we need to be able to concentrate on those.
It must be difficult, with the boy's mother appearing as if from nowhere. But we will miss you. All of you, Mildred.
You mean you will be going with them?
I guess I'm just a punk sellout.
What?
Yeah, I'm going with my friends.
I wish you would reconsider. All of you.
Marco suddenly stood and walked away from them.
I didn't figure we were that important.
I think it may be more than that. Isn't that right, Mildred?
Oh, shit.
Mildred got to her feet and walked after the sect boss, who stood on the verge of the camp, looking out into the night. He turned as he saw her approach.
I don't think there is anything more that can be said, really, is there?
Maybe not. But maybe you should know that this is the hardest decision I've ever had to make. And if you had the slightest idea of how weird and strange my life has been, you'd know that's saying a lot. You have no idea what my girls would be saying right now if they were still alive.
Then why are you going?
Because I have to. I know we both pulled back from each other, but maybe something could have happened if I stayed.
So why don't you?
Because... oh, Jesus. Because I have other loyalties that cut me deeper still. Not just to JB, but to all of them. We've got bonds and ties that were forged in fire, and you can't walk away from those.
No, I would not expect you to.
And he walked away from her. When the morning came, the companions prepared for departure, and the entire tribe rose to wish them well. As they were leaving, Sunita approached them.
Words seem so inadequate at a time like this, but nonetheless, I feel it is important that I say this. Without you, we would still have had to leave Pilatu and begin again, but it would have been a harder, more costly experience. We owe you much, and we will never forget you.
Sunita embraced Mildred, her eyes filled with tears. The companions parted company with Pilatu. They simply walked off in a different direction from the caravan, which began to move off and down into the valley, searching for the best spot to begin building their new life. Marcos didn't watch the companions leave, and Mildred didn't look for him. After they had walked some distance, the companions stopped to rest. The redoubt could still be reached before nightfall. Mildred turned to look back to see the Pilatan caravan stretching out across the valley floor. JB came up behind her and rested his hands lightly on her shoulders.
They'll be fine. Good people with good leaders.
Mm-hmm.
Millie, tell me honestly, did you really want to go with them? I mean, are you with us because of the past and not the future? I mean...
John... when have you ever known me to do anything that I didn't feel was the right thing? The right thing for me and for those who I want around me?
I guess never.
And that still stands.
They made the redoubt in the early evening. The recessed entrance was shut tight. Without an exterior trigger, this was a problem. But not a problem that hadn't been considered.
Jack... you remember we found in redoubts vents for their air conditioning and cleaning systems?
Yeah.
Do you reckon these vents would have maintenance and service hatches?
Remember climbing down one. Just need find it.
Without another word, Ryan followed Jack as the albino scaled the shallow wall of rock around the recessed entrance. Out of sight of the rest of the companions, the two men scoured the top of the small plateau formed by the redoubt entrance.
What the hell are they doing?
Trying to get us in.
Mildred and JB exchanged glances. Meanwhile, Ryan and Jack were still searching in the fading light for signs of a ventilation duct.
Usually hidden by rock pile, and has narrow channel into service tunnel.
You think you'll have any trouble getting past the rad shielding?
Ryan knew from past experience that the maintenance shafts were gated by lead-lined airtight doors.
Never locked, just tight stop air. Not trust stoop sec with codes and keys. Most seals rubber and rotted. Here.
Ryan joined the albino youth and helped him move the rock pile that had been carefully placed more than 100 years previously to cover the vent outlet. The movement of the earth after Skydark had only helped to camouflage the vent, as more rocks had tumbled onto the pile. It was almost completely dark as they finished removing the obstruction. Below, the rest of the companions waited patiently, except for Sharona, for word from above. Jack looked up at the night sky. It was clear, with a crescent moon that cast a wan light over the land.
Go back, Ryan. Tell Otis what's happening. See you soon.
The albino youth slid down into the vent. The one-eyed man watched him go, then carefully descended to the entrance below. While he outlined the situation, Jack wormed his way through the vent. It was tight and pitch dark. It was only the albino's wiry frame and the fact that his pigmentless eyes could adapt to very low levels of light that enabled him to make progress. He really was the only one of the companions who could have pulled it off. He squirmed and wriggled down the narrow vent, the heat soon building up around him, despite the constant uprush of expelled air from the obviously functional conditioner. He was sweating heavily, a sweat that was dried by the rushing air before it reached his eyes, leaving them gritty and sore. As he made his way, his fingers sought the telltale impress of the service hatches. Prying the hatch open so that it fell down across the vent, which temporarily blocked the airflow, he found that he had been right about the rubber seals. Wasting no time, in case the open hatch door caused a blowback in the purification system, he pulled himself into the service tunnel and reached down to pull the door shut. The maintenance tunnel was lit by a low-level red strip and had a larger circumference than the vent. Jack was able to relax for a second and breathe more easily before beginning the long haul into the redoubt. It was easier, but finding his way around the maze of service tunnels would take time. It was almost impossible to get totally lost, as he had to emerge somewhere in the redoubt, but he wanted to come as near to the surface level as possible. There was no way of knowing if the redoubt was in any way inhabited, and he proceeded cautiously. In a short time, Jack dropped back into the air conditioning system so that he could wriggle to a vent and make a wreck. It was important that he find out where he was and if there were any signs of life. The vent showed him he was in an upper level, near old administration offices. He stilled himself and listened carefully. There was nothing. Every instinct told him the redoubt was empty. But he still refused to take chances. Moving back into the maintenance tunnels, he found an exit on the same level and cautiously emerged into the body of the redoubt, his Colt Python in hand. By the time he made it to the main redoubt door, he was more relaxed. There were no signs of life and no signs that the redoubt had been occupied since pre-dark times.
All hours.
Ryan opted to wait a few days before they made a Matt Trans jump. Rather than keep traveling across open country for who knew how long, he figured that they could take their usual chances with the random setting of the Matt Trans. But first, he wanted them to rest. The redoubt was still well stocked and in good working order, so this would be a good opportunity to recuperate before jumping into the unknown once more. They showered, changed, and got some sleep in the dorms. But there was something that had to be dealt with soon. Sharona had been distancing herself from the rest of the companions while they traveled with the Pilatans, only really associating with Dean. If she was going to travel with them, then it was important that this rift be healed, or resolved. But there would be time for that the following day, the one-eyed man thought as he lay awake, trying to figure out what the shocking return of Dean's mother meant. The next day brought no solutions. Ryan awakened to find the others had already risen. After showering, he walked to the kitchen, where he found Mildred, Christy, Doc, and Jack.
Where are the others?
John's gone to check out the armory. You know what he's like.
Yeah. He must have been really worn out last night because he didn't go straight to it. What about Dean and Sharona?
I don't know. Anyone else?
They were up before either of us, but where they are, I don't know.
Well, I suppose you can't be doing any harm.
My dear boy, why would the woman want to do harm? She thought she would perish and sent her son away. Then, when she recovered, he was gone from her. Is it not natural that she should want to spend time with the boy, and vice versa, as it were? That is, that he should wish to spend time with her.
That's true, but it's not so much the time.
It's more her attitude about things.
You sure it's her that's the problem? I mean, are you certain that you don't just feel a little put out because she suddenly appeared?
Yeah, maybe a little. But I've thought about that, and there's more.
Get bad feeling. Pulling Dean away from us. His choice, but not good when we fight or stand together.
Exactly. Before we leave here, we have to sort out what's going on between us all. We have to pull in the same direction, or else...
Or else all strength is dissipated.